Okay, it's 9:35. The meeting of the Business, Finance, and Facilities Committee is now commenced. First item is roll call. Angela, can you please take roll?
Chair Carvalho.
Here.
Regent McMichael.
Here.
Regent Brooks.
Here.
Regent Moran. Regent Tarkanian. You do have a quorum.
Thank you, Angela. Is there any public comment this morning?
There is none.
Thank you. We'll move on to item number two, consent items. I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Was that Regent McMichael?
Yes.
Thank you. And a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? No abstentions. Motion carries. Okay, next item is item number three, second quarter fiscal year 2021 fiscal exceptions. Mr. Klinger.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, Andrew Klinger, Chief Financial Officer, presenting the fiscal exceptions report for the second quarter. The items on here are items that you've seen on this report before. First item is the UNR ASUN Wolf Shop reporting a deficit of $1,576,000. The accumulated deficit reflected on this fiscal exception will be paid down from a portion of the revenues generated in the new contract with Barnes & Noble, as well as revenue generated from the sale of inventory from ASUN to Barnes & Noble. It is estimated that the deficit will be eliminated by the end of fiscal 24 or 25. The second item I would highlight is the University of Nevada, Las Vegas School of Medicine, which reports a negative cash balance at the end of the first quarter, totaling $8.3 million. This deficit has increased by $1.4 million since the last quarterly report. And then the final item I would highlight is the CSN dental faculty practice totaling $833,000 at the end of the quarter. And this deficit has increased by $47,225 since the last quarterly report. And with that, Chair Carvalho, I will be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee members or any regents in attendance? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number four, second quarter fiscal year 2021 budget transfers, state supported or self-supporting operating budgets. Mr. Klinger.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, Andrew Klinger, Chief Financial Officer. On the second quarter fiscal year 21 budget transfers report, UNLV reported transfers totaling $7.9 million. These transfers were necessary to implement the budget reductions in the state operating budget.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee members or other regents in attendance? Okay, we will move on to the NCHI real property inventory report for fiscal year 2019-2020. Mr. Klinger.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. For the record, Andrew Klinger, Chief Financial Officer. This report presented to the committee today is a report that is required per the region's handbook. That requirement requires the Business, Finance, and Facilities Committee to review an annual update of all NCHI property holdings and long-term leases. The report presented to the committee today is all real property as of the end of fiscal year 2020. And Chair Carvalho and committee members, I will point out this is a report that has, while there is a requirement that it be reported annually, this report has not been presented to this committee for several years. So this is the first time this committee is seeing this report in several years. Moving forward, we will be sure to bring this back annually as is required by the handbook.
Thank you, Mr. Klinger. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we will move on to item number 6. Update on public-private collaboration on Nevada State College campus. President Patterson.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. I'll just speak briefly and then have Vice President Butler explain the current status. So it's very important for institutions, particularly Nevada State, with about 250 acres that could be utilized for public-private partnerships to be part of the diversification of the economy in Southern Nevada. But not only that, to be part of diversification of our own revenue sources so that we're not so heavily dependent on state funding to help build out the campus. Now, there are a lot of projects that we've been pitched on at the college site. Not all of them, are important, but they're not all, they don't all fit with the college campus. You can imagine that many of the projects that are coming to Southern Nevada are manufacturing or distribution centers, which are absolutely critical to Southern Nevada, but they're not the type of project to occupy a, you know, bulk of the acreage at Nevada State. So we're looking for those kinds of projects that have a lot more synergy with a college campus, a place for our students to work, for us to do training, to have some synergy with our academic programs. So that's the kind of project that we look for. And we continue to have those kinds of projects come to us. And we're, you know, think we're almost going to have one of those projects and then they fall through. And so it takes a lot of work to bring those projects to fruition. And so that's why I wanted to update the committee on a regular basis, because we never know when one of those projects might come to us. Now, yesterday, the most recent Clark County lands bill was introduced by Representative Titus and Senator Cortez Masto. That bill includes some clarifying languages for Nevada State and other institutions that have these land holdings that would clarify their use and broaden that use, frankly, to make it clear that it could be used more freely for these public-private partnerships. So that will be an important element as we move forward if that bill is successful in making it through as part of the Clark County lands bill. So I'll stop there and let Vice President Butler carry it forward from here. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, President Patterson. Chair Carvalho, committee, Kevin Butler, Nevada State College. So we provided a brief presentation to this committee last August regarding our efforts to manage public-private collaborations, and just wanted to take a few minutes today, to President Patterson's point, to update this committee on where we are in this process. So last August, we talked about the need to really generate a new revenue stream created by leveraging the real property assets of the college, and also that the Nevada State Campus Master Plan allows for anywhere between 170 to even up to 250 acres of land that could be used for such collaborations. Also across the street, the city owns a lot of vacant land that could also become available for similar types of activities. But in addition to revenue, to again, to President Patterson's point, the ideal collaborations that we're looking at will contain opportunities for academic involvement, internships, and other forms of student engagement, post-graduation employment, but also opportunities for shared space, spaces at a premium at Nevada State College with our phenomenal growth. And also shared infrastructure and perhaps even shared services, depending upon the type of collaboration that we're talking about. The main point today is that the college is continuing to explore these public-private collaborations and, if appropriate, would need to seek board approval in one form or another to move these projects forward. And there's really two approaches that we're looking at right now. The first is a more traditional approach. And this is the approach that we took with our student housing project. And that would be that if a project seems to check all of the boxes for us, then we would work with the Chancellor's Office and the Real Estate Council to draft a non-binding memorandum of understanding. Now, this MOU would need to come to this committee for approval, and it would allow project teams to really start to refine what the project is, get their investment lined up, and also to begin to negotiate what we call implementing agreements. And these implementing agreements are going to be documents such as a ground lease, development agreements, and depending upon the complexity of the project and the specifics of the project, there could be a myriad of other agreements that make up this packet of implementing agreements. And it could take months really to negotiate these agreements correctly, and it's a rather involved process. But once those are negotiated, we would bring those back to this committee, and you would have to approve those implementing agreements before that project would move forward. And because of the time involvement, et cetera, there might be a requirement for the college to come back and make periodic updates to the committee and to the chancellor, just to make sure that everybody's informed of the progress of these projects. The second pathway that we discussed back in August is really to create a framework that would enable us to more adequately and more timely assess and engage these types of opportunities. Sometimes the glacial pace of higher education can cause developers to kind of take their projects, very exciting projects, and move them elsewhere. And so we kind of have missed opportunities if we're not able to move more swiftly. The college has studied a number of different frameworks, and we've had some conversations with community leaders regarding elements that might be comprised in such a framework. But there's still a lot of work that we need to do, admittedly, before we're prepared to come with any sort of a proposal to this committee or to the board. But just wanted to make the committee aware that we continue our efforts in this regard, and we think that that's going to pay dividends for the college and ENGIE as a whole over time. So over the years, the college has been approached by a variety of projects ranging from sustainable agriculture to manufacturing and just about anything imaginable in between. And so we do need to be able to assess these and figure out how to triage them and which projects to move forward with. We're currently in discussions on an exciting youth development project that would combine athletics with education and wellness. And while we think that this project does check all of the boxes for us, there are some pretty unique elements around this that are going to require further discussion and further development. But it is our hope that we're going to reach a point very soon where we can bring an MOU to this committee for consideration to advance a project into the next level of discussion. And we just want to make sure that the committee is aware so it's not coming out of the blue when it does make its way on the agenda. Those are just the points that we wanted to cover today. I don't know, President Patterson, if you had anything else, but I'm ready to answer any questions that you might have, if not.
Thank you, Mr. Butler. President Patterson, was there anything that you would like to add?
No, I think Vice President Butler did a good job of recapping it. And, you know, that's the hard thing in working on these projects is you spend a lot of time. And so we're pretty cautious in involving The time the chancellor and the chair of the board, chair of the committee, until we're pretty sure that a project has some viability that'll move forward. So, and it's also so that we can, you know, incubate it a bit and make sure that we have underlying support from the campus and from the city and from the community in which we reside. So it does take a while to get these projects ready to go, and that's why we just want you to be aware we're continuing to work on them. We would like to get one of these ready, but we want it to be a successful project and one the board gets excited about. So hopefully that will happen. But if it doesn't happen while I'm here, I'm sure it'll happen under the next leadership.
Thank you, President Patterson. Well, we anxiously await more information on any projects that are coming our way. We know that Nevada State is growing tremendously, and those partnerships are a vital part of Nevada State's future, I think. So thank you for that. Are there any other questions or comments from the committee members or other regents in the meeting right now? No? Okay. Thank you, President Patterson.
Thank you.
We will move on to agenda item number 7, capital improvement fee allocations for former EPA facility renovations at UNLV. For this, I will turn it over to President Whitfield.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho, and good morning to everyone. With this item, we're requesting approval to allocate $7 million in capital improvement fee funds to renovate buildings on the UNLV Maryland campus that were previously occupied by the EPA. For about 60 years, UNLV leased 5 different facilities to the EPA, and upon the return of those buildings to UNLV, one of them ended up being demolished. 2 of them were renovated back in 2019, and then the leases on the 2 remaining facilities concluded just this last October, and the buildings have been returned to UNLV. Renovations, though, are necessary to make them available for new occupants. And with these buildings, they're in a very important place on our campus. They actually sit across from the library in the very heart of our campus. So we have a unique opportunity to be able to consolidate some of the essential student services under one roof in a prime location on our campus to make sure that students actually see them, think about using them, and have good flow of traffic to help students. These different offices include the Disabilities Resource Center, the Math Learning Center, the Writing Center, and the University Testing Center, among a few others. There'll also be some other academic offices and also some open lab, and one of the things that we desperately need on our campus, which is some open study space. These centers in this area are going to be critical to student success for UNLV students, and relocating them into a highly accessible space is expected to increase their utilization and be able to contribute to our student body. The renovations are estimated to cost in total $12 million and will be funded by EPA lease revenue and the balance of previously approved allocation funds of SIF funds that were in the total of $5 million. To come up with the additional $7 million that are necessary to complete this work, we request your approval to allocate that much, the $7 million, in CIF funds to the project. So that's the background on it. Are there questions about this request?
Any questions from the committee members? This is an action item. So if you have any questions, concerns, comments, please let me know. I would say, President Patterson, I'm sorry, President Whitfield, that I'm sorry. You hit the nail on the head that this area of campus is kind of the heart of the campus and very important to have these services available in this area. And I appreciate the allocation of this area into something that is good for our students, and reusing of current facilities on campus. As Mr. Frommer described these buildings, they are vintage to the UNLV campus. So I appreciate the reuse of our assets on campus, and I think that they're going to tremendous use when it comes to student support. So thank you for considering that. Do I have a motion to approve this agenda item?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Regent Brooks, and second from Regent McMichael. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Any abstentions? Nope. Okay, motion passes. Thank you, President Whitfield.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho and Regents.
Okay, item number 8, Second Amendment to Base Year Medical Office Building Lease between UNLV and Medical Office Building 46 of Nevada LLC for property located at 3196 South Maryland Parkway, Suite 303, UNLV. I will turn this over to President Whitfield as well.
Thank you, Regent Carvalho. And I think Gene Vock is also on the phone to add any color commentary that I might miss or questions that you might have that might dig into deeper detail. But with this item in general, we're requesting approval on behalf of the School of Medicine of the Second Amendment to the Base Year Medical Office Building Lease. This will allow UNLV School of Medicine and UNLV Med to be relocated from 8,715 square feet on the second floor to 7,601 square feet on the third floor of the same property that's located at 3196 South Maryland Parkway. The third floor space is smaller than what we currently occupy, but this relocation will actually provide some significant clinical efficiencies. For example, it'll add an additional exam and consultation room and will afford UNLV Med the opportunity to increase their square footage in the future should additional space be available. The lease term will be 10 years with a one-time right to terminate at the end of the seventh year. UNLV will also be granted a right of first refusal for any additional space that comes available on the third floor. The rent for this over the 10-year period is just short of about $2.5 million. The payments will be funded by UNLV Med from revenue generated from its clinical operations. In the event of a loss of appropriate funding, UNLV Med will set aside funds to pay cancellation fees that might be due in that eventuality. So with that, that's the background on our request. Are there questions that we can try to address for you?
Everybody's quiet. I will entertain a motion to approve the Second Amendment to the Base Year Medical Office Building Lease between UNLV and MOB 46 of Nevada LLC for the property located at 3196 South Maryland Parkway, Suite 303.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Regent Brooks. Second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Regent McMichael. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. All right, motion carries on that one. Thank you, President Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Regent Carvalho.
We are now at agenda item number 9, Food Service Agreement Amendment and Extension at UNR. President Sandoval.
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman, to you and through you to the members of the committee. It's a great pleasure to be here. For the record, Brian Sandoval, President of the University of Nevada, Reno. We're bringing forward today for your review and requested approval an amendment to the multi-year campus food services contract with Chartwell's Compass Group USA, which has been a great long-term partner. As required by our existing agreement, in the case of extraordinary circumstances, which I hope you all appreciate, the last year certainly qualifies as. We sat down with our partners to reevaluate the business assumptions and operational structure of the agreement. I'm going to ask Vice President of Student Services, Dr. Shannon Ellis, to provide a few more specific details on the amendment we are presenting. However, as an overview, this item reflects my recommendation for a mutually beneficial path forward in this campus service area. Pleased to introduce Dr. Shannon Ellis and what we think is a win-win. Dr. Ellis.
Thank you, President Sandoval. Again, my name is Shannon Ellis. I'm the Vice President of Student Services at the University of Nevada, Reno. And the approvals we are seeking from you today really do assist the university as much as our partner, Chartwells. They are responsible not only for our campus dining for our residence halls, but also many retail venues around campus. And, you know, you can imagine not doing a lot of business right now, and campus catering, even less business. So they have a wide scope across our campus. Ivy Kussler, who is Chartwell's Vice President of Operations for the West, is joining us for this agenda item to be a resource should you have questions. But I really have to tell you, more than anything, her presence is indicative of the partnership that we have had with Chartwells over the years, all based on helping students to be successful. The impact of the pandemic shutdown, the resulting refunds, the lack of greatly reduced business for these venues, it has all had a significant adverse effect on Chartwells and certainly our own dining program. Our contract with Chartwells requires that the university and Chartwells work together to identify mutually agreeable modifications that will mitigate the adverse financial impact. So what we have presented to you are the terms of those mutually agreeable points. Some are short term, meaning right now everything will go back to normal after July 1, but short term amendments. They alter commissions, they reallocate funds, and they extend the term of our contract by 2 years. That extension is important because it allows Chartwells and the university to make up for the losses, to gain back the losses of these short-term amendments. And it helps them to meet long-term commitments around a shared vision for many capital improvements and projects around campus. A little bit more specifically, we agreed on a short-term reduction of retail and catering commissions, as well as a percent of sales that is allocated to repairs and maintenance. We also agreed to a short-term reduction of catering and discretionary funds. The reallocation of $1 million from future capital projects into direct operational support for Chartwells and the university. The split is $600,000 for Chartwells and $400,000 for the university dining program. That split reflects nearly $7 million that Chartwells has already spent in the last 2 years investing in several physical projects, student scholarships, internships, and the biggest has been a $2 million endowment that is in place to generate revenue to help students with housing and food insecurity. The two-year extension of the contract, again, is really important to regain the losses, and including to bring back the $1 million that was planned for capital projects. So this is probably the most important thing. There are many things that did not change in our contract. The biggest is Chartwell's commitment to $26 million in capital projects, investing in renovating, repair, but also bringing new projects online as we build more buildings and create more space around campus. So that commitment remains from the original contract. Along with student scholarships, student internships, they invest in our undergraduate research program. They invest in student catering money for events and other important projects around campus. So in addition to Ivy joining us this morning, I'm joined in this presentation by Vice President of Administration and Finance, Vic Redding, and our Associate Vice President for Student Life Services, Ramondo Nash. So we'd be glad to take your comments and questions.
Thank you, Ms. Ellis. Are there any questions from the committee members? I see that Regent Del Carlo, Vice Chair Del Carlo, has a comment.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. When I had my briefing with President Sandoval, I just wanted to say publicly that this was a wonderful solution, and I really applaud Chartwell and UNR for coming together. When you sign a contract, you have no idea that we're going to have an unprecedented pandemic. And I see you shaking your head, Dr. Ellis. This was such a win-win on so many levels. And I think it's a compassionate thing to do. It's totally the right thing to do. And our students and everyone on the campus benefits. And I just want to do a shout out to Chartwell, because mm-hmm. I went to UNR many years ago. I won't even talk about how long ago. And believe me, the food wasn't very good. I am a foodie, and Dr. Ellis and I have had lunch on campus together, and the food is outstanding. And the catering, I mean, I would hire those caterers if I thought we could. I don't know if we can, but I mean, they're just excellent caterers, and not just the food's good, but your staff, Chartwell, really deserves a lot of credit. They are the kindest, most accommodating people, and it's just always a pleasure to go to UNR events, because you have such a wonderful wonderful food and a wonderful staff there. So I just think, you know, we talk about partnerships and collaborations. This is really the epitome of good governance together. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo.
Yes, I would like to echo what Vice Chair Del Carlo said. Dr. Ellis, I apologize earlier. I want to congratulate you and your team at UNR for the thoughtful but business-based, mutually beneficial decisions to make this work for both parties. As Vice Chair Del Carlo said, you know, you go into contracts with one thing in mind, and sometimes things happen and you can pull the triggers on those contracts and it may not be beneficial in the long run. But I certainly appreciate the work that you at UNR have all done to make sure that this works for both parties, because for a long-term relationship, that's what we have to do. I also see that Regent McAdoo has a comment.
Thank you, Chair Carvalho. I too had a discussion with President Sandoval about this. And I also see it as a mutually beneficial agreement to the university, its staff, its students, and to Chartwell. And honestly, those are the components that we want in a contract with NSHE. I view the commitment and the amended contract agreement to be a necessity and honestly a hope builder for us to get back to, if you will, an assemblance of our students being on campus, our staff being there, everyone being served as well by Chartwell's as they have been in the past. though if I were on the committee, I would certainly be supporting this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Regent McAdoo. Are there any other questions or comments from our committee members or regents on the call? Well, seeing none, I will ask for a motion to approve this food service agreement amendment and extension from UNR.
Motion to approve.
Thank you, Regent McMichael. Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you. Thank you, Regent Brooks. So I will call for the vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you. Okay, we will move on to item number 10, new business. Is there any new business that the committee members would like to bring forward? No? Seeing none, we will move on to public comment. Angela, is there any public comment?
There is none.
Thank you. Okay, well, I will adjourn the meeting at... Oh, I see that Regent Tarkanian is now on. Thank you for tuning in to us. I will adjourn the meeting at 10:11 a.m.